Okay, we are on page 298, which could be also called Kufmem Tess. We're at the bottom of the page, Shehine Ratzon Elyon. Thanks. Now the Kabbalists term and refer to the Supreme Will. The letter is talking about halacha, is what the general gist is, but it's going to be a long time before we get back to that. And the last time we talked about Ratzon Elyon, we talked about Hakal Tepukhin Kedishin, different levels of Ratzon Elyon. So now he's going to continue with this and give us a little some GPS coordinates, and it'll be probably a couple more times before we finish this letter. The divine will, which we've been talking about, is nicknamed and called, according to the sages of the truth, meaning the Kabbalists, Keser Elyon, the supernal crown. And he's going to explain why it is called the supernal crown. Uboi taracha mudei or v'chulu. And in describing why is it called Keser, one of the reasons it's called Keser is because divine will is manifest in this world with 620 commandments, or which are called the 620 pillars of light. Okay? That would tell me, that's fine, because Kesser's numerical value, Terach, it's actually the same letters, Tafresh Chav, but if that would be the case, if it was so simple, then it should be called Terach Elyon, not Keser Elyon. The fact that it's called Keser, meaning crown, is an indication that there's something related to it and the word crown. The idea being, though, is that the divine will is conveyed down here, and that's the idea of the Amudei Ur, the pillars of light. Okay? Nowadays, I could put down a, sort of like an example of like fiber optics. Okay? Oh, yeah. We talked about this back in Shari Yifin Ve'amuna, that the connection between Jews and Hashem is like a rope,
right.
And the rope is not really a rope, it's more like a fiber optic cable. And there are 620 fibers in this fiber optic cable by which the godliness is coming through. And he even says later on that these amudim, these pillars of light, are hollow, like a fiber optic cable. The little strands are. And so there's a connection, correlation between that and the idea of crown. So what does it mean? Why then is it called crown? Why isn't it called Terach? Which would indicate that the main thing being that it's 620 of these things, corresponding to the 620 commandments, 613 of the Torah and 7 of the rabbis. Pirsh Derech Mashal. So he says, for his way of example, Kemaish Yesh Amudim Bebayis Chaim Agadol. You have the walls of a large brick home. Okay? Nitzavim ba'aretz v'sheya mechuber b'tikra. So what do the walls do? The walls connect the ground to the roof. That's one of the things the walls do. You can actually say, what do you need walls in your house for? Well, one of the things is to keep the roof from landing on your head. Okay, so now that one of the major things of operations I'm waiting having done in this building in Ferndale that I got is that most of the walls that we took out are hollow. And, like, no big deal.
No weight-bearing wall.
Yeah, but we do have one major weight-bearing wall going right through the middle of the thing. And if I take that out, well, it's not that I said, is the roof going to collapse? And I was told, no, the roof won't collapse. The ceiling will sag, is what I was told. And he said, you don't want a sagging ceiling in the middle of your house. No. So we're going to shore that up, and we're not going to use verticals, we're going to use horizontals, which is something I haven't seen exactly yet in Chassidus, the use of a horizontal beam versus a vertical pillar, because here he uses the word amud. Amud is a pillar. Okay, so we can talk about the physics and engineering of I-beam support at another time.
I can picture the horizontal beam supporting small, short vertical beams that shore up the roof.
No, that's not what we're doing. Okay. Anyway, so
interesting.
So kach amamash derech mashal keser elyon baruch hu. So too, by way of an example, is it with Hashem's divine level of keser, which is his divine level of will, hu lamayla mebechinas madregas hachochma, It is, this might sound like a duh statement, it's higher than Chachma. This is an expression of coronation. The word keser means a crown. That's how it's always translated. What's the deal? By saying that it's higher than Chachma is like, hello, yeah. I mean, you know, if you didn't know anything about it else, you would say that will is higher than intellect, because one of the major achievements of a person's intellect is attaining of will. Okay, why do you start thinking about something, formulating, and developing, and finally doing? What type of things do you do all that for? Things you want to. Okay, so if you the want is the impetus behind it, and the whole process is what brings it down to action. So in this case, it's not that we're connecting the floor to the ceiling, which is what the analogy is because after all the ground was here first. But in our example, it's being exemplified with Hashem. Well, Keser was here first, and what we need to do is connect it to the ground. So we're building these walls that connect the roof to the ground, so we can bring the roof down here. It's sort of like that. What that means. Why is it called Kaiser? Because it crowns and encompasses the brains which are in the head, which is Chabad. And he said before, he mentioned it back in the chat in the 50s, and he mentioned it earlier, that when we use the expression makif, we don't mean surround. Your brains are not surrounded by will. Even though that talks about in the Zohar, and brought down in Kabbalah, and it's mentioned in Chassidus in a zillion places, that the brain is encased, it was talking physiologically speaking, the brain is encased by a membrane. And there's a membrane between, that membrane, there's a space, and then there's the skull. Okay, that allows your brains to rattle around a little bit in there, because you got that little bit of space in there. Okay, so you have the krum, it's called, the membrane, the avir sha'al ha-krum, the space on top of the membrane, and then you have the galgalas, you have the skull. And all each one of those is referring to a more, going from top to bottom, a more detailed and defined expression of divine will. Because they're all more closer to the internal. So the most external expression has to go through the process whereby it can be internalized. So the word makif, that expression, when we're talking about looking at our brain, so yeah, okay, so the membrane and the skull encompass the brains. But when we're talking here about divine will and its relationship to Seder Histalshelus, which is the internal expression of Hashem, it's not surrounded. The creation process is not surrounded by a little bubble, or a big bubble, or any bubble. The word, because what happens is the way it's described, we've had it before, is that the makif of the, how's it go, the pnimi of the higher level becomes the makif of the lower level. Meaning, you're talking about the Seder Histalshelus, where the effect becomes the next cause. The relationship that a cause has to an effect is a very good example of what we mean makif. When you're doing those dominoes, the first domino is not surrounding the second domino. But contained within the first domino is the second domino having already fallen down. It's in a potential. Mm-hmm. Right? You with me, Akiva? Mm-hmm. Okay. So we would say that the second domino actually falling down is contained in the first domino in a way of makif to the second domino. The energy which is conveyed, the internal energy of the first domino, is going to cause the falling of the second domino. Okay, so there is a transference from first effect to first cause. That is where your makif is. Okay? So that when we look at this idea, Pnimi and Makif, it just feels like every other type of jargon that has ever been used in Hasidus, however way you pictured it, is wrong. Because we're not talking 3Ds over here. You can't draw a picture, really, of this. No one has ever been able to sort of, like, visualize potential energy. But is that potential energy relates to the fallen domino on a higher level than it? It's the cause of the domino having actually fallen. Yeah, does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Okay. That's how we're going to define makif. And this divine will, which is this all this potential energy, is clothes itself in 613 commandments of the Torah, the Zion mitzvahs, the Rabbanan, the seven rabbinic commandments, he added to together at 620, Sherubim kekulim hein mitzvahs maisiyos, because the vast majority of the 620 commandments require a physical something. Even if you're talking a negative commandment, a don't do, okay? You have to have pigs in the world for us not to eat them. Okay? So our not eating the pig is affecting the entire pig population, the Derek Makif, in a superficial, encompassing way. As opposed to, say, what happens if we're eating a cow? That gets internalized. Mm. So that's bipnemius. So that's why he said back in the 20s, 24 and 25, for doing a mitzvah, so there's a certain amount of quote-unquote reward specific to how much you actually did. For the non-performance of a transgression, the reward is infinite, because how much didn't you do it? You didn't do it in an infinite way. It's not that you didn't do it, it's nothing, no. Because we even have a saying, for example, this is what the Gemara says, Shava lo tasa ki ila asa. If a person sat back, having the ability to do something wrong, and controlled himself and didn't do anything wrong, they give him the credit as if he had done something. Mm-hmm. That he has just done a positive thing. Okay? It's very hard to be recognized for things that you don't do. Okay, but Hashem recognizes all the things that we don't do. Okay, because the things that we do, okay, that's easy. You can get your picture in the paper. Okay, for all the for all the pieces of pork that we didn't eat, we're not going to get written up in any newspaper anytime soon. So that's why it's a much greater thing. It's beyond our scope of appreciation, because we don't understand how much it is that we're not doing something. Where am I? Vekulam Hamis is Advisius. Vehem Talus Vedibor. So you have some that are, most of them are action. Some of them are speech. But about speaking, okay, so when you're speaking, you're moving your lips. Mm. It's an inner garment, okay, it's thought, it's action, speech, and therefore it's an inner garment, and it uses up less of the world than it would be, say, if you took a physical thing and used it for a commandment, but still moving one's mouth still requires energy, and it requires a mouth to move. And you have a couple misses that are taluyas b'mach shava oy belev. They're dependent upon a heart or the heart, like believing in God. Mm. Okay, so somebody asked me last week, what do you tell the person to get them to believe in God? Answer, you can't. You can't sit down and have like this nice logical discussion or a nice lecture about believing in God. Mm. Believing in God is something that the person has to come to themselves. You can give them the tools and say, well, there's a rationale behind my belief, which is somewhat unique to Judaism. I don't know enough about the other world's religions to say that they have a rationale as to why they believe what they believe. But in Judaism, we have it all laid out as to why we believe what we believe. Okay, so I can tell that to people. And they will accept it. Or they won't accept it. Depends on them. But they're not going to come into it unless they have to sit and they have to think about it and they have to take it in and they have to internalize it. And then they can say, yeah, I believe. Yeah.
Is that published? Is that Ghazari? Where we?
You have the Rambam's 13 Principles of Faith.
Okay, the Yigdal.
So that's it. I mean, I know a person who was married to a non-Jewish woman, mm-hmm. and they had a bunch of kids. And as one of the kids got older, so he signed up through some whatever because his dad was Jewish for Birthright, and he came back, as is true with a lot of people that go to Birthright. Oh, I'm just into this Judaism thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I've seen it as eight zillion times. Okay. So he wanted a pair of tefillin, and he asked his dad, "Could you get me a pair of tefillin?" So the dad asked the Chabad rabbi that he knows that he's close with, "Can you get my son a pair of tefillin?" And he said, "I can't." That's all he said was, "I can't." And then he called up me, and he said, "My son wants a pair of tefillin." And I said, "It's going to take me about 4 or 5 hours." To explain to your son about him and tefillin. And we went through in great detail why it is that Jews believe what they believe, going through the 13 animamims. And after we got all done with it, and I told him, now let's talk about the neshama. Okay, and why we believe that there's a neshama, and who has a neshama, and how you get a neshama. And then after all of that, it was about 6 hours, he finally understood why he was not getting the tefillin. Okay, if I was just told him, oh, by the way, you're not getting tefillin because you're not Jewish, that would have just made a lot of people upset.
That would have made him mad, sure, of course.
No, what do you mean? I was raised Jewish, I went on birthright.
Right.
The dad's Jewish, my dad can have tefillin, why can't I have tefillin?
Right.
So, with understanding,
you can be at peace.
Yeah, so we have this codification as to why we believe what we believe, because belief is not something. It says there's a mitzvah of yediyas haTorah. That's with thought. To know Torah, okay, to understand Torah is also a mitzvah. You know, so you have different things in Torah. You have learning Torah. You have understanding Torah. You have speaking words of Torah, reviewing Torah. These are all mitzvahs that all fit into the Torah of Lech Lecha, all that type of stuff. Okay, so those are things that you're doing with your thought. But then believing that there's one God and that the God is totally unified and trusting in God, that's much deeper than Machshava. Okay, so those are things there. But so still, it's you that's doing it. The Torah and the mitzvahs was given specifically into the people and physical people in this world that we have free choice which way we're going to go. Okay, this expression, this is a very famous expression, actually it's a big buzzword in town these days. Everybody's talking about Torah lo min hashamayim hi. The Torah is not in heaven. And it's based on a story which appears two times in the Gemara. One time in Rosh Hashanah, one time, I think, in Masechta Shabbos, I think? No, Masechta Avodah Zarah. With Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's two different arguments. One of them was involving an oven as to how it was supposed to... The oven, instead of being made out of bricks, was made out of coils. Clay that had been coiled around and around and around. Okay? And was it susceptible to ritual tumor? Could it have to be taken apart? If it was made of straight bricks, so the way to kasher a brick oven, if it becomes ritually tamei, the way to be matahir it, is to break it into three pieces and cement it back again. So the discussion was, do I have to do this? That was one argument. Rabbi Elazar said, you don't. And Rabbi Yoshua said, you do. The other one is in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, and it's when was a certain Rosh Hashanah that year. Rabbi Elazar said today is Rosh Hashanah, and Rabbi Yoshua said tomorrow is Rosh Hashanah. So Rabbi Elazar, in both instances, in both stories, in the first story, the last two things are the same. The first one is different. By the oven, he said, if I'm right, the carob tree should prove it. And the tree picked it up, some say 100 cubits, and some say it moved 400 cubits away and replanted itself. Okay, and then you have the guys that make pilpulim. Well, is it now chayav orla because it moved itself? Okay, people have nothing else better to think about. Can I eat the carob now that it picked itself up and moved? Yeah, the other one, he said, if I'm right, the wind should blow. And then it started blowing. The river should flow backwards, and the river began flowing backwards. Okay, and he said, finally ending with a baskol, a voice should ring out from heaven and proclaim me to be right, in both stories. And a voice rang out, and Rabbi Yeshua's response was, Torah lemina shamayim hi, the Torah is not in heaven. Once we had Matan Torah, listen, it's called a gift. When you give somebody a gift, unless there's some kind of stipulation someplace, it's not yours anymore. So Hashem gave us a gift. He gave us the Torah. So therefore, we are the ones who are supposed to be utilizing the Torah down here. The Torah does not have its effect anymore up in heaven, straight, just heaven. To the extent that when Eliyahu met Rav Hamnuna, Rav Hamnuna asked Eliyahu, so what did Hashem say when Rabbi Yeshua said, I'm sorry, we're not going to listen to God, we're doing it the way we see it? So it said, God smiled and said, my children have beaten me. He was very happy. Okay, because the rules were set up, and this is the way that it was perpetrated. So it's given down here, and we have the choice. Okay, and where does the choice come in? Is in that story with Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Yeshua hard-nosed Rabbi Elazar. He said, listen, in 11 days from today, no, in 10 days from today, you're going to think it's Yom Kippur. On that day, I want you to come to my base medrash with your shoes on, with your walking stick in your hand, with your money belt tied on your waist, after breakfast. He read him the riot act. And Rabbi Elazar came. And Rabbi Yeshua stood up and called him Rebbe. Because if you got a voice, if I had a basco ringing out, singing, hey, Finman's right. And somebody else said, no, 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 we're not doing it your way. We don't care what the voice ringing out says. I'd start my own Judaism. I got God on my side. So Rabbi Elazar said, he's right. Rabbi Yeshua is in the position that he's in charge.
Yes.
It's not. This is the world is set up such that Rabbi Yeshua's position was to decide what day was Rosh Hashanah, and if that oven how to rectify it's becoming impure.
Right.
That was his function in the world. Therefore, it was his. Anybody else was going to say no, it's mine. Could be discounted, as was Rabbi Elazar. Mm. Okay, and Rabbi Elazar was no slouch. How many bas kols have you elicited? You know. So if I'm right. Okay. So you have a choice. If we're going to do good, Masha Ein Kein Haneshama Below Guf Ein Tzorach L'Tzav Sal Zeh. Which in that case, you're talking about souls. Souls don't need to be rectified. Souls are perfect just the way they are. We're talking about godly souls. Okay, you don't have to do anything. We're not doing mitzvahs for your godly soul. You know, I tell people, listen, learning is like vitamin T for your neshama. Yeah. But that's only because it's stuck in this dirt bag thing we call a body. Mm. And that's having this effect on it, as it says, that a small hole in the body causes a large hole in the neshama. And it's not like the same relationship that it is, even though the world is called a big body. And every person is called a small world. But if something happens in the world, it's not affecting Hashem. Whereas if something happens to our body, it affects our souls in an extended and exponential way. Small hole in the body, big hole in the soul. The nimsah shahamitzis hainal derech mashal kamo ha'amudim. So it comes out from all this. That the mitzvahs are like pillars. Nitzavim marayim hamailas, that they're standing upright and erect, reaching up to the highest of levels, hu ratzon elyon baruch hu, which is the will of Hashem, which is the impetus behind the creation. So the mitzvahs are reaching up to a level which is beyond the creative level of Hashem. Ad ha'aras olazu achumrius, and bringing that ratzon ha'elyon, bringing that divine will, which is so far beyond the creation process, bringing it not just into the creation process, but bringing it down into this physical world. So that when a person puts on tefillin, or throws a quarter into a pushka, or whatever fills in the blank, what they are doing is bringing Hashem down here. Because that's what Hashem wants. You got a question? Okay. V'hinal derech mashal kama alamudim chalulim. They're like, for example, hollow columns. Shemakipim al bishin nishmas ha'adam, that encompass and enclose the soul of the person, or ruach or nafsho, or his nefesh, his ruach and neshama, depending if he's doing something, mekayim ha'mitzvah derech amudim el, if he's doing it through thought, speech, or action, is going to be depending on how the Torah is going to affect. If he's doing it through action, it's going to affect his nefesh. If he's doing it through speech, it's going to affect his ruach. If he's doing it through thought, or anything deeper, it's going to affect his neshama. And then what happens is the mitzvahs then become the conduit, quite literally like a conduit that you run wires through, to elevate the soul to the highest levels. Litzara b'tzurur hachayim es Hashem, to be bound in the bound of life, with the essence of Hashem, or at least with the will of Hashem. And that's what happens when a person does a mitzvah. The mitzvah now acts as this tunnel to connect Hashem with you, and you with Hashem. Pirush, liyeh tzururus, what does it mean to be bound in a bond of life? Liyeh tzururus, amil slavshis bo'ora keser hu ratzon ha'elyon. You're in the groove. You're connected to, you're contained within the will of Hashem. Such that when a person is doing the mitzvah, they don't even have an existence. It's not them anymore. They are the mitzvah doer, which is why you have the halacha. If you hear it, you see somebody's doing a mitzvah, somebody just walks into the room doing a mitzvah, you have to stand up out of respect, a sign to the person who's doing the mitzvah, because what's walked in now is not that person. What walked in and was ratzon elyon. That person's doing a mitzvah. He doesn't exist. It's the mitzvah that exists. And then, now, because the person did all these mitzvahs, and this person's neshama is encompassed, like we talked away before, by the divine will, so now when the soul divests itself of the body, and is privileged to divine revelation, so those mitzvahs become the clothing to the neshama so that it can withstand more godliness. So the more mitzvahs a person does in this world, the more godliness they'll be able to appreciate. That's why it says, Yafa Sha'achas Tshuva Ma'asim Tovim V'Olam Hazeh V'Kol Chayei Olam Haba. One better is 1 hour of tshuva and good deeds than the whole world to come. Because by doing so, we get every mitzvah that we do in this physical world, we create a greater connection to Hashem. Once the person reaches 120, and he's not doing mitzvahs anymore, he's on the level that he's going to be on. Oh, it's true that there's his neshama has an aliyah at various times, like on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh and all the Yamim Tovim, and on the Yahrzeit site we wish the neshama should have an aliyah, and every time there's a yisker, and every time anybody does anything in memory of the neshama. There's a story, I'm not sure if it's a Medrash or Gemara, I heard it from Shalom Ber Gordon, that there was, I think it's a Gemara, that a certain rabbi came to a certain graveyard to go pray at the gravesite of his Rebbe. And he got lost. Couldn't find it. So he said, he made a declaration, I will give 2 pennies to charity in the merit of the soul that directs me to my Rebbe's grave. And it's described there, he said, you should have seen all the neshamas clamoring to show this person where the soul of his Rebbe was, so that they could get the 2 pennies in their merit. Because they can't do it there. There's no mitzvahs there. And what's it to us? It sounds like a big deal, 2 cents. But with Hashem, numbers don't mean anything. As far as accomplishments, giving 2 cents and giving $2 million is the same accomplishment as in the eyes of Hashem. Me, I'll take the $2 million. You keep your 2 cents out of this. Anyway. And we can appreciate levels which are even higher than divine will. You can experience divine delight. Okay? It's one thing to say that when we say schar mitzvah, mitzvah, the reward of the mitzvah is that you made a connection to Hashem. That's what we get. That's how we are rewarded. So what is it? How does that manifest itself? After the person divests himself of the body, so they can appreciate the divine will which was connected to them. That's very nice. I got to be a vehicle for divine will. Yay. But on a deeper level, a person will experience the divine delight that they caused Hashem. They're experiencing the same delight. Now that's something to write home about. Wow, this is awesome. I'm experiencing the delight the way Hashem experienced it, by me doing this mitzvah. It's not exactly like the way Hashem does it. V'hagam shenis bar v'macham achar. Even though we explain elsewhere, sha mitzvahs hein pnimius ratzon elyon baruch hu. The mitzvahs are an expression. It's elsewhere. It's in Pardes and elsewhere in other places that the mitzvahs are an expression of the inner aspect of Hashem's will, meaning they are an expression of delight. They're not just an external expression of divine will. Hinei ma'idos zois liyiduachein. It's known to those who understand Kabbalah. Whichever time I see that expression, I say, I might as well go home now. So it says, we know that there are infinite numbers of levels of each level of holiness. You have inner to inner and external to other, to outer, la'ain kates. Okay, so so that a person received a certain level understanding of godliness because they did a certain mitzvah, and they received a certain expression of divine delight, and they're really very happy. They say, this is really great that I'm exposed to this level of divine light. There's still a whole lot more. The however much we get is barely scratching the surface. Zion misses the Rabbanan, and Ashavas misses with Neatzmai. So it says, wait a minute. We know there are 613 commandments mentioned in the Torah. It's alluded to in the verse Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Marasha Kehilas Yaakov, that the Torah that Moshe commanded us, the word Torah is 611, Tav is 400, and Vav is 6 is 406, and Resh is 200 is 406, and 200 is 606. And hey, is 5 is 606, and 5 is 611. So Moshe commanded 611 commandments that he heard from Hashem. Two commandments we heard directly from Hashem. That's equal 613. What's this 7 stuff? How come that gets put in? The way it sounds, that there's 620 pillars because of the 613 commandments and the 7 commandments of the rabbis. You're already making a distinction there. There are 613 commandments of the Torah. Finished. The rabbinic injunctions are not from the Torah. How is it that we're putting them on an equal footing to say there's 613 channels, 620 channels? 7 of them are, add-ons. You know, they don't have the same fullness and validity, and therefore shouldn't have the same. Saying hallel should not have the same effect as saying as putting on tefillin. Or saying hallel should not have the same effect as saying shema. They both involve saying. But because we call them terachamu deor, so it tells us that saying the shema and saying hallel is exactly the same effect. Within parameters, shema does shema what does, and hallel does what hallel does. But just even that hallel should do anything. Okay, there are lots of rabbinic decrees out there that didn't get into the number. Okay, my whole halacha shelves are filled with all these things that rabbis came up with. They're not part of the 7. They don't fit into the 620. Those are only rabbinic. They don't fit there. So what are the rabbinic commandments? They're okay, so they're old. Okay. Hallel was, I believe, from David HaMelech. But Shabbos candles from the second base of Mikdash time. And Hanukkah candles for sure. When was the Maccabees? I think the last of the seven was the Hanukkah candles. Okay, so so you have this whole spectrum, but there's lots and lots and lots of other mitzvahs. So he explains. And his Zionists is a rabbanan ain't nakshos mitzvahs if they asa shahari kvar nam or loy seisif. If you were to say, I got this new mitzvah I want everybody to do, we're going to incorporate it, we're going to make it part of the Torah.
That's a good idea.
And from now on, there's 614 commandments. Mm-hmm. Guess what? You just violated one of the commandments, which says you're not allowed to add to any of the commandments. B'chinas keicha sheva naran ha'adah. Wait a minute. It's a kalulu v'hen b'smis... Ella hein yaitzim and yimshachim v'mitzvah ha'terah. So what are these seven mitzvahs? They are drawn down from, they're an offshoot from the mitzvahs of the Torah, ukalulus behem b'misper teriyag, and they're actually incorporated in the 613 commandments. Lehalbish teriyag b'chinas l'keichas shel b'naran ha'adam, because we have teriyag 613 soul parts which fit into our 613 body parts. And the way that we keep those 613 body parts which have been enclosed by the 613 soul parts is by doing the 613 commandments. That's how you strengthen that neshama, that soul of yours, as it's in the body. Story which I've told before, of a woman who came to the Baal Shem Tov from the next town, that her husband is dying. So he came over and he asked the woman to please go out. And he's there with her a while, and he asked for a bowl of beef broth. So she brought him broth, and this guy was like more in the next world than he was in this world. He was grayer, his skin was ashen. He was showing no signs of life. So the Baal Shem Tov put a teaspoon of soup into his mouth, and he turned pink immediately. And by the time it was done with the bowl, the guy's sitting up in bed already. And he said, he'll be fine now. So he's walking out. The doctor who was there said, I know what that guy had. And a bowl of soup wasn't the cure. What gives? So he said, you're absolutely right. It says, this man was so far off that his soul wasn't even ready to be, couldn't even be contained by his body. That's how far off he was. So when I spoke to the neshama, and that caused him to be sick. If there's a disconnect between your soul and your body, if the person doesn't have that relationship, soul to body, they get sick. That's Alpi Kolpola. That is the definition of why people get sick, is because the neshama is out of line. There are a lot of hocus pocus Kabbalists that try to align people's neshamas so they shouldn't get sick. Okay? And some of them charge some really good bucks. Okay, if I wasn't so scrupulous, I might have done it myself. Okay, let me just manipulate your spheres a bit. We'll just massage them up a little bit, do a little traction, make sure they're all straight. Yay. So why aren't these seven mitzvahs considered Baal Tosef? Now you're not allowed to add on to the mitzvahs. Shari Kvar Nem or Lo Yisayisiv Ella. That these are the good deeds, the Avid Barnash, that the person does, Meshachia Nunahira, in garments of light, the Ziva Ilah of the supernal ray, Levusha, that's what he's enclosed in. V'chamikula b'noyim Hashem. And so they are warmed by them and they can appreciate the sweetness of Hashem. So, the, what was I going to say, just a second. I fell on my hip. The Hagam, the Hus, and Meir begun Eden Atacht. And there, what we're talking about in that statement of the Zohar, where the soul is elevated because of all the things that he's doing, that's talking about the lower Gan Eden, which we've learned before in Shar Yechud V'Amunah, really is chump change. It's like for all those nice, good boys and girls. We never really got into it, but they're doing all those nice, good things. So since they did a good thing, if you do it for the wrong reason, it's still a good thing. So all those people, they get thrown into the Gan Eden Atacht on the lower level of Gan Eden. Avol Gan Eden HaElyon, we're talking about the higher level of Gan Eden, HaLevushim Heim Ru'usa V'Kavana D'Liva V'Araisa T'Lusa, that how does a person get themselves, get their neshamas, after 120 into the higher Gan Eden? That's going to take focus and concentrating. Like it's, for example, at the time of davening, that the person's heart, attention, and thoughts all be intended towards Hashem. Hare kavana hu kavanas oiske b'tera lishma. And this kavana is also the same thing with learning. When a person is learning, they also need to have a certain kavana. We can't just passively sit back. This is where we have a kavana. Our intention is from the depths of the heart, similar to praying, that we're going to do this mitzvah, we're going to be connected to Hashem. Me'avas Hashem u'mitzvahs talmud Torah hu gam kein v'chol mitzvahs ma'aseyus da'amikas v'asav ha'mimaisa. And with all the positive commandments, and of course with the studying of Torah, which moving your lips is also considered a deed. And just thinking doesn't do a whole lot. If you think talk is cheap, what's thought? Billiger vi borscht. It's even cheaper than beans, which is not the translation of that. But the v'havi ma'aseh v'hira lav k'dibur dami, thinking is not like speaking. V'ani yedecha v'asa b'hira levada. If you just sat there and thought about the Shema, you didn't say it. Guess what? You didn't do the mitzvah. V'kein v'tfilin, so it's also with davening. U'ma gam ki ma'ilas hakavanas ala dibur ma'aseh ena mitzad atzmai ela mitzad ha'aris rotsan elyon baruch hu k'moshuk l'kuti amarim perek hamazos barichos ayin sham. It's not. It has nothing to do with anything other than that's the way that Hashem wants it to be. That why is it that when a person does a certain mitzvah, that mitzvah has a certain effect in the world, positive effect, is because that's the way Hashem designed it. And since it is, that's the way what Hashem wants, there are 613 commandments. I mean, you know, and there's 613 pillars, and they make these 613 connections between us and Hashem. Okay, so we're on the top of page 300. Actually, it's already into page 300. We're starting Vihine Magdoas Zeis. The first word is Chelek Aleph Perek Lamed Ches on page 300 in the top numbers. To be continued.